Well, I've been thinking about what to say over the last day or two here on the Chris Raby Show on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com as we remember Bobby Plager, absolutely a beauty. Maybe the man who best fit the definition of the hockey word beauty. A man who meant, means, and will mean for so long, so much to so many, and it hurts that Bobby is gone, but it is amazing, amazing, as St. Louisans and St. Louis sports fans are apt to do, be a part of some of the memories, some of the stories, some of the celebrations, and all of the laughs over the last couple of days. So, you know, I was thinking about just kind of what to say and how to remember Bobby. I know that so often it can seem, at least in my opinion, a bit self-serving when we all, and I use the collective we there, I don't mean you and I don't mean me, but society in general and the social media world that we live in, you know, there is such, I feel like, a call to arms to, you know, immediately jump onto social media and try to share a story or a photo or both or all of the above about what someone who has recently left us meant to you. And again, not you that I'm talking to right now, but collectively, we do this. And I think that Bobby is the one person that literally bring it on, you know, because everyone has a picture, everyone has a story, everyone has a joke, everyone has a laugh, everyone has an anecdote about Bobby being Bobby, because that's the only way Bobby knew how to be, and he made all of us feel like he was just Bobby, whether you knew him, whether you didn't, whether you played with him, for him, against him, whether you played hockey at all, whether you rooted hard for the Blues, whether you were a casual fan of the Blues and of the NHL, it doesn't matter. Bobby was Bobby, and that's what made Bobby Bobby. So, you know, I was kind of thinking about all of this, and I've talked to Joey Vitale about this, so I called Joe and asked him to share a couple of his thoughts, and then that made me think of, I think, just my Bobby story about Bobby being Bobby. So I'll give you first what Joe said, and I think it's so perfect, just so perfect. And, you know, speaking from a variety of levels here, this is Joey Vitale on Bobby Plager.
What comes to mind about Bobby in that spectacular run for me personally was about how he loved hanging around our booth. I remember you being a part of that as well throughout those playoff games. And for a lot of fans out there who watched Bobby throughout that playoff run, they know he hated watching the games, especially in some very, very intense points of a game or a series where he would need to pace in the hallway or kind of get away from watching the game, go to the bathroom. And for me personally, it was hang out in our broadcast booth. I remember calling those games with Chris Kerber, and then we'd have a little bit of a break and I would need to take a stretch and take a breather and look behind me, and right over my right shoulder was Bobby in that back corner, that Camel X box, where he was just sipping coffee, staring at the ground where this wonderful game was going on, but he just could not watch or look at the game notes. I'm like, Bobby, there's a great game going on out here. Like, I can't watch it. So-and-so is not on his game tonight. What the heck kind of turnover was that? It's making me sick. And he would get all kind of disgruntled. And so that's number one that certainly pops to mind about that run for him, was that he just cared so much about this team and to the point where it gave him anxiety watching, because he so desperately wanted that parade, which eventually the Blues got him. And the other thing that comes to mind is a great story my dad told me. And I had a point in sharing in this experience, was when they went to Boston for game five, the Blues end up giving every employee a ticket, a plane ticket and a ticket to the game on the road, which was an awesome thing that Tom Stillman did. And all the employees got one ticket and a flight, and then, of course, a game in Boston. So Chris Kerber and I, of course, calling the games, we were already at the game. So Steve Chapman and Chris Zimmerman said, you know, how about you guys still get that ticket if you want to give it to your wife or your mom, or your dad, or a significant other, whatever. So I, of course, give it to my dad, who knows squat about hockey. I mean, my dad knows squat about sports in general. I think his first game of watching hockey was when I was a kid. Just to go to show you that he just doesn't know much about the game. So game five's in Boston, 2-2 series at the time. I remember I had to keep checking in on my dad. My dad's the type of guy, you got to keep checking in on him. He can't travel by himself. He'll get lost in cities. You know, if it wasn't for cabs, getting you a place you need to go, my dad would get completely lost. So, hey, Dad, how you doing? Hey, Joe, good. I'm here with Bob. We're doing well. I met him on the plane. Nice guy. We're over here at the restaurant. A couple hours later, hey, Dad, heading to the game. Everything good? Yeah, Joe, everything's good. I'm walking around the city with Bob. He's kind of showing me around. And meanwhile, I have no idea who he's talking about. Finally, at the end of that game, Chris, as you remember, the Blues end up winning that game. And then I meet up with my dad. And he goes, hey, Joe, great game. And he's sitting next to Bobby Plager. And I said, oh, you met Bobby Plager, Dad? He goes, yeah, this is the Bob I was telling you about. And I was like, Dad, this is Bobby Plager. And he goes, who's Bobby Plager? I said, Bobby Plager is one of the greatest legends of the game, not only the Blues. And so I kind of give him a quick bio of him while Bobby's kind of got his back turned. And my dad had no idea. But what the best part of the story is that Bobby never even led him on to believe anything differently. That's what made Bobby so special, was that here he was, this absolute legend. He got it done on the ice, player, coach, as a scout, as an ambassador. He is Mr. Blues Hockey, right? He bleeds blue. No one bleeds deeper blue than Bobby Plager. But you would never know it if he didn't know who he was. If you just talked to him, he's just a person. And he had this amazing humility, this old school humility about him, that he recognized that what he did was simply what he did. It didn't make him who he was. Who he was something so much deeper than that. He was a great person that loved to connect him with people, whether they knew who he was or he wasn't. And my dad spent the entire day that day in Boston. It was a beautiful day for game five, just shooting the breeze with Bobby Plager. And my dad had no idea who he was. And Bobby probably loved it because for once he was probably just a normal human being. And they had a great conversation and a wonderful memory to this day. And that's what I love most about Bobby, was that he had that constant humility about him and just wanted to continue to build connections and build relationships with everyone he encountered. And he loved players that played for the right reasons. You know, he was cut from a different cloth than these kids who play the game now are. And back in the days, in the late 60s and 70s, he didn't make a lot of money. You hope to make the playoffs and go deep so you can drink bottled beer instead of canned beer. That was your motivation, right? And that was one of his favorite stories, one of my most beloved stories of Bobby. We don't have time to get into that story. No one told it better than him, so I wouldn't even do it justice if I tried. But that goes to show you why he played the game. He played it for the love. He played it for the guys next to him. He played it for the emblem on the front and not the name on the back. And you mentioned people he loved. He loved players like Alexander Steen and Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Schenn, who had a great fight right off the get-go in tonight's game against the Minnesota Wild, against Hartman. And I texted Braden Schenn after the game. I said, great job, Warrior. Hell of a tribute right there. And he said, five for Bobby. Thanks, Joey. I mean, that's the kind of spirit and that's the kind of legacy that he will pass on, because he loved players that just played their hearts out every single night, like an Oscar Sundquist. Those are the guys that he beloved. And then you look at, you know, Barrett Jackman, who comes in his rookie season after the Blues draft him. And he gets to his stall on his first day, and there's a number five hanging on his jersey. And Bobby Plager knew what kind of player he was. And he knew he was a heart and soul guy. And Bobby Plager went to ownership and went to the managers and said, I want this guy to wear my number five. He deserves it because of the way he plays. And that's what he loved. He loved people off the ice. He loved players that played for the right reasons. Everything about him was just old school, deep, passionate, and connection and building relationships. To the best of his ability, he could make a kid, chuckle with a kid joke in one corner. And then 2 minutes later, he's having an adult conversation in an office with some Blues legends, and they're cracking up about some adult banter. And so he just had this amazing chameleon ability to connect with different people of all different facets of life. And that's what was so special about him.
Awesome words from Joe Vitale, and appreciate him sharing them. You know, I was thinking during all of that I don't think, like, I really don't think I've ever told anyone this story, is that I was in Boston for game seven against the Bruins, and, you know, space is a little tight up on the broadcast level. And after I finished my pregame show and took in all of the festivities right up to puck drop, Curbs and Joey slide in and they get ready to do their thing. And again, like, space is at a premium. It's really, really tight up there. I'll post a picture. And this is game seven of the Stanley Cup final. And we're in, you know, the garden. And I was like, all right, for the first like minute or two, I'm going to go just see what the atmosphere is like. See what this feels like to be, you know, game seven, cup final, Bruins, Blues, and there's also nowhere for me to stand right now and see the ice anyway. So I head downstairs on the freight elevator to the concourse, and the game had just started. And you remember how that game started. You know, for the first 5 minutes or so, really the first half of the first period, it was just a barrage of shots at Jordan Binnington. Binnington was unbelievable. And you could hear the, ooh, 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 the crowd like coming to a swell every time Boston had an opportunity. So I'm downstairs. It's like maybe all, you know, maybe the first media timeout. And I'm like, all right, I got to go back up. Maybe halfway through the first period. And I had been walking around and just enjoying it. And I'm going back to the elevator that will take you all the way up to the media level from the main concourse. Like, this is like the, you know, the equivalent of the 100 level, the main concourse. And here comes Bobby around the corner with his cup of coffee, kind of clutching his game notes, kind of anguished look on his face. And we're both kind of standing there. I'm waiting for the elevator. He's trying to decide, I guess, whether to go back upstairs. And I looked at him and I said, so what do you think so far? And he just said, well, it doesn't sound great. Well, Bobby, maybe it didn't sound great then, but we know how it turned out. And you were the man who was there for it all. So it doesn't sound great right now to say goodbye or to talk about a legend of the Blues and a legend of the St. Louis community moving on. But like that game, we know how it's going to turn out. It's going to be great. Because you always were. Talk to you Monday.